Cyclone Fanatic Radio is on the air.
All you gotta do is put a drink in my hand.
That's what she said.
Crazy town full of neon dreams. Everybody plays, everybody sings.
That just happened.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Y'all ready? They ready? Well, come on!
We
come on!
Ready.
Y'all ready?
They ready?
And welcome, everybody, to the Cyclone Fanatic Channel Seed Podcast here. It is Cyhawk Week, a big week in the state of Iowa, of course, and Austin are not, and I'm going to talk about it here for the next, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes or so. I'm Chris Williams, and joining me is good old number four, Austin are not. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm not great. I'm not bad. It's Cyhawk Week. What else can you say?
That means I'm pretty good. Fired up for the game this Saturday.
So you like this week?
Now I do.
Did you hate it as a player?
Oh, yeah. So much media around and everything's, you know, you got uncles, aunts and uncles from the woodwork, cousins all over the place. It's just it's a long week until Saturday for those guys, guaranteed. Both sides.
Yeah, and doesn't it annoy you? It does me, being a part of the media. But it seems like, you know, the media shows up. The guys from like Eastern Iowa and everything to the Iowa State press conference and all the questions to you guys are like, so you have any uncles who are a Hawk fan?
Right.
And that does, like, that ain't happening on that side. It's treated differently.
It is. It definitely is. I agree. And,
well, and that's why like the whole little brother thing is such a big deal. Just like I somewhat participated in it on Monday because AJ Klein was asked about kids wearing Hawk shirts around campus.
Oh yeah,
and he went off with some gold at that point.
Did he really?
Yeah, with his quotes talking about how irritating it was. And, I mean, it was real. And you know, as a guy in my position, you feel like that's going to be entertaining to your audience. So I wrote a little quick little blog on it.
Oh, of course.
But at the same time, people forget that AJ was asked about that. AJ didn't just grab a tape recorder and say, oh, I hate people who wear Hawk fans on, you know what I mean? It didn't.
Right.
People forget that these guys are asked these questions and they are led into these scenarios.
Exactly. It's not going to get displayed like that over in Iowa City. Most
guys,
what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And
yep, know that too well.
Most guys don't take the bait, but AJ is a very confident young man and he says, I love it. I love it, man. He's one of my favorites.
From Wisconsin.
Excuse me, he's one of the rare guys who's not scripted, who's not, I mean, you know. And
oh, yeah.
You guys are coached what to say, obviously. Every college football player across America, that is to a point. But I don't know, I appreciated the fact that he just kind of kept it real in that scenario.
Oh, yeah, you have to. And that's something that he's probably getting a little flack for today with Tom Crichel and Coach Rhodes. But, you know.
I don't think his comments were that bad.
I know, but it's still going to, he'll still get something said to him about I mean, easy there. No, it's just so, it's not top flight security.
Well, it's not fair to see, like say, he was led into that corner.
Oh, yeah.
And,
and like you said, it's not like I stepped to the podium two years ago and just said everything I hate about the Hawkeyes, because I do hate the Hawkeyes. But I can't just go up there and say that.
No,
because
that's going to get plastered all over the bulletin board.
Oh, yeah.
AJ Klein's comments were definitely not bulletin board material. His point was, if you go to Iowa State, wear Iowa State shirts, not Iowa, not Florida, not Florida A&M.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma, whatever. That was all it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, good times. It's Cyhawk Week here at the Channel Seed Podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. A lot to talk about today. Coming up tonight is our basketball tip-off party, our inaugural one.
Inaugural, you bet.
At the Keg Stand in West Des Moines. Ever been to the Keg Stand, Austin?
I have a couple times now for the football program. That was awesome.
I spent about 2 months there in one night. I love that place.
Ryan does a heck of a job over there.
That's my spot. And now they have all those beers. Have you been there lately?
I haven't been there since the tailgate party. I need to get back.
It's been, it's kind of turned into a, it's more of like a, kind of like a beer bar now. They've got all these beers on tap.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it's great. I, if you're a connoisseur, which I am.
I'm not a big connoisseur of, like.
You're more of like a liquor man.
Well, I'm not a big beer guy, yeah, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That's why you're fit, and I'm not.
Really.
No, but they got all these beers, and it's really cool. Every time I go there, I text Ryan, and he tells me a new one to try, like the new thing.
I bet Ryan's pretty spot on when it comes to that stuff.
He's got them, yeah. 7 o'clock. I can't give too many details, just due to rules. You don't want to miss it, though. It's going to be a balling party, and I've got a lot of people. Why are you throwing a basketball party in Cy-Hawk football week? Well, timing wise.
Why not?
Well, and that's kind of what Ryan and I were talking about last night. It's like, dude, what other week would you want to get together with a bunch of Cyclone fans? Go to a bar and know there's not going to be Hawks there.
Western Illinois game? No.
No. No.
Don't want it.
This is a perfect time. And believe it or not, we can talk all we want. Hoop season is around the corner.
Right around the corner.
Media day is going to be like in a month. So get ready. 7 o'clock tonight, Cake Stand, West Des Moines.
I'm fired up for some b-ball.
Looking forward to that.
I might actually purchase season tickets this year.
For real?
Boom.
You shouldn't have to purchase them. They should give you some.
I don't want to be that guy.
You blew out your knee for that university.
Not for the basketball program. I'll see if me and Fred can get Ames High discount going or something.
Aim high.
Always.
And also tomorrow night, this will be fun. It's our debut call-in show of the season at Kippy's Place in Elkhart, 7-8, 1460 KXNO. One, John Miller. HawkeyeNation.com is going to join me.
I heard you yesterday on the fine waves of Miller and Brinson, and right before I was on there, and I heard he was going to be in there. I might have to come down and give him crap.
Well, here's the deal, and I know that there's nobody from Hawkeye Nation listening to this podcast.
Right.
I'm kind of going to throw Miller into the hornet's nest, and he doesn't know it yet.
That's fine.
I'm going to do it. We're going to do a...
Miller's been thrown into a few hornet's nests in his day. He'll be all right.
Not one like this, though.
Oh, I hope so. That'd be great.
We're gonna put... him and Juan Tron Smith from Molson Toyota of Ames on mic together, and I'm just gonna let Tron just roast John.
I can see that as backfiring. Maybe that might backfire on old Tronny boy. I mean,
no, I'm just kidding. It'll be fun. Hopefully, we have a honestly. Like my goal in this is to have a good, intelligent conversation of the kind of what I want us to do today of the Cy-Hawk game and break it down and get both sides. Obviously, we're gonna give the Iowa State side more than Iowa. But I guess let's start there here. The Channel C podcast, of course. I watched both games. I rewatched both games on Sunday.
Yeah.
And took notes. It's kind of my ritual. It's what I do on Sunday afternoons when the Vikings aren't playing, of course.
You betcha.
And, boy, I tell you what. I mean, Iowa didn't look good. I thought Iowa State over-exceeded my expectations. I thought that Iowa under-exceeded what I thought I was going to see from them. But really, Austin, I mean, I don't think it means anything. When one, you consider that, I mean, just the history in this rivalry, that first game generally means nothing. And two, this is where I want to pick your brain today, is James Vandenberg, how he's such a different guy away from Kinnick Stadium. And that proved to be the case again on Saturday at Soldier Field against Northern Illinois. What do you see from this young man that makes him so spectacular? I mean, he's a top 15, is that crazy? Top 15 quarterback in the country in Kinnick?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, but they go away from Kinnick, and he's just a shade of himself.
Yeah, and I was talking with one Kyle McCann yesterday just about why that is. And he can't pin it either. He doesn't know either. He watches him, and it's like, man, he looks so uncomfortable in that situation as opposed to being in Kinnick and, you know, throwing for 1,000 yards and a million touchdowns. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, and that's something that Vandenberg's got to figure out. Playing at home is great, but, you know, I had some of my better games as a Cyclone playing on the road just because your back's against the wall. It's you and your teammates versus that 60, 70,000.
Yeah.
And it's a great challenge, and I guess he's had trouble besides the first start he had at Ohio State.
He was great there.
He was great there, but ever since it's kind of been, kind of a comedy of errors for him.
Well, it's heightened this year because he doesn't have as much help.
Well, right, and it's very noticeable now with that big monkey on his back. saying, oh, he can't play on the road.
Exactly. You got guys like us breathing down his neck. Let's bring this into an Iowa State conversation now. You have Steele Jantz complete 71% of his passes against Tulsa.
What is he supposed to do?
It's incredible.
Yep.
In that offense, you should be around there realistically. I mean, that's still a really good mark, but when you're dinking and dunking as much as he did on Saturday, the number should be high.
Right.
Now, I'll ask you this. John and I did a little face-off thing that you can check out on our front page right now yesterday. And this is legitimately my question to the football game. Is Steele Jantz, can he duplicate that on the road? We've never really seen Steele have a big road game.
Right.
And on top of it, it's Kinnick Stadium to boot. It's a tough place to play. You've told me numerous times. The toughest place you ever played in?
Behind Nebraska.
Behind Nebraska?
Second.
So, I mean, what does Courtney Messingham have to do to put Steele in a good spot? Because I'm still not – listen,
he's far from a finished product.
Yeah, exactly. What I saw from him, though, I mean, there were a lot of encouraging things. For instance, I've talked a lot about it this week, and I actually talked to Steele about it, too, on Monday. But there was that play in the fourth quarter. It was third and long. He rolled out, was being blitzed, dumped it off to Ricky Howard for like a five-yard gain, punted the football.
That's a win. That is
exactly.
A win.
In Messingham, I don't know if you watched the tape back, the biggest smile on his face, gave him a high five. And I'm thinking, you know, that's something they've been working on. That's something that the film room has been – that it finally paid off in that spot where I think Steele would have rolled around and tried to do something crazy
for
last
something.
Year.
Take what they give you.
Can he translate to Kinnick Stadium, though? How much harder is it to do
it's
that?
It's going to be a lot harder. I mean, he goes up and he goes 71% completion percentage against – a Tulsa defense who was one of the worst in the country against the pass last year.
Yep.
That's what he was supposed to do game one. I mean, I remember a couple years ago, we opened with Northern Illinois. I think I completed about the same percentage against a bad Northern Illinois pass defense. That's what you're supposed to do in game one. You're supposed to show up. You're supposed to have these easy throws. And it's got to be more of the same on Saturday. He's got to take what they give him. Iowa's defense hasn't changed much now under Phil Parker. It's kind of the same vanilla generic look that they're going to give you those, you know, 7 to 8 yard hitch routes on the outside. They're going to beg you to take the outside throw. He's got to do that, nickel and dime all the way down the field, and score touchdowns. That's the thing against Iowa you have to do is score touchdowns because they're going to. Everyone knows that.
I think they're going to run the football against Iowa State fairly. I think they're going to be able to do that.
Well, without a named back, the guy had 30, the bullet kid had 30 carries.
He's a good back.
He's a good back. Yeah. Ran for 150 yards, 5 yards a carry. I mean, that's good for a young kid.
Do you think, because Paul Rhodes and Steele were talking quite a bit on Monday about how they don't think he's going to be able to get outside of the pocket and do a lot of things he did against Iowa?
Iowa's defensive ends are great at climbing up the field. And the thing that Iowa does so well is they do a lot of line games to confuse you as far as twists and stuff. But then, you know, a lot of times they don't even rush the passer. They'll get hands on those outside. Like Claiborne was the best of this. He'd get hands on Kelechi. And then Kelechi would go to try and move him, can't move him. Then we go to throw the ball, he jumps up and tips it. So a lot of times these guys won't even get a rush on the passer. They'll just play outside leverage on that tackle and try and leverage himself into the passing lanes to break up a pass.
But now here's my question, though.
Yep.
So Rhodes and Steele are saying this. Do they really believe that, or are they just saying this at this point? Because I feel like, especially when I watch that Northern Illinois tape back, to me, I mean, that just seems like one wide open spot for Iowa State if Steele Jantz can get loose a few times. Hence, what we saw
last year,
a year ago.
Exactly. Their ends last year did not do a great job of containing Steele, and they were trying to take angles to get a sack. More as the Iowa way of doing things is that Iowa defensive linemen are always good NFL linemen because they're great with their hands. Mm-hmm. If you ever watch Adrian Claiborne, if you ever watch Christian Bauer, guys that use their hands really well. In the NFL, I'm making paychecks. But when it comes to last year and them having, you know, as little experience as they did on the end, you know, it was tough for them to contain Steele just because, I mean, at times Steele was losing 10 yards to 10 yards behind the football to gain ground. But this year, he's not going to – I don't think they're going to be – I mean, they're going to be focused and key on not letting him get out of the pocket. I mean, he killed him last year with that.
He did. And I think Iowa State's running game is different as a whole. When you consider the three guys, Woody will be back on Saturday. I think Chantrell, you and I look pretty smart. Because we've both been on the Chantrell hype wagon here for the last couple months or so. He was at a different level than anybody on the field.
Yep.
He was at a different level compared to where he was before he got hurt. I mean, he looks like a much better running back this time around.
The one thing that will indicate if Iowa State wins this football game, if Shawnchoe Johnson has 20 or more touches, I think Iowa State wins this football game.
Really? So you got to get him the ball more.
You got to get him the ball more. 18 touches is not enough against a Tulsa team. And I hate taking snaps from James White and Jeff Woody, but Chantrell is just that good of a back where he has potential. Like I say, we always talk about his big play potential at any time, boom, boom, and he's gone.
Well, I feel like, Austin, tell me if I'm wrong, and I really didn't know this. I didn't have this thought in my mind until I watched the tape again.
Yeah.
But I actually feel like 10 carries for James White is going to be better than 20 carries for James White.
No doubt.
Like he's going to be a lot more productive because here's Chantrell is so nasty.
Filthy.
It makes James White almost look slow, which he's not.
Right.
You know what? It is a nice change of pace,
mm-hmm.
surprisingly.
You
think those two guys are going to be more similar, but they're really not as far as how they hit the hole and what they do with the football. I mean, James,
right.
I think, can average 5 yards a carry because of this setup. I think he's going to score plenty of touchdowns.
Yeah.
Same with Jeff Woody. I mean, Woody's always going to have that role on this football team.
Right.
Chantrell's emergence now after game one, it really is going to take away from the freshman, I would imagine, more than James White.
I agree.
Or Jeff Woody.
I agree. I think James White is a one cut back. Chantrell's an any cut back.
Oh,
I mean, he'll
nasty.
Make 1, 2, 3, 4 and then get upfield. James is just going to give you a hard left or hard right cut and get up vertical. And the reason we didn't see Jeff, because Lenz had a 43-yard touchdown catch, didn't he?
Yeah,
and
43 yards.
Yeah. Ernst Brunn off of a turnover, they boom, turn around and throw a ball in the back of the end zone to Ernst Brunn. I mean, there wasn't many times for Jeff to get the ball in the red zone to kind of hammer that thing out.
Ernst,
two carries.
Ernst Brunn's a good-looking guy.
Oh, yeah. He's put on some weight. I remember he came on his first visit to Iowa State, and he was like 215, 220. And me and Colin Franklin were his host, and the kid has just put on 30, 40 pounds since.
If he keeps it up, he could make money playing this game.
That's what we've always said about watching Ernst play. I mean, he's got all the tools. He's just got to put it together mentally.
But do you think that now that Steele had a little success with him, that he targets him a few more times, especially in Iowa City against a defense like that? I mean, you kind of take the security blanket route and go to Brunn, because I kind of feel like he's a guy who might have. He had two catches on Saturday. I kind of feel like he could have five or more.
Yeah, he's a guy that brings a diversity to that that huddle. And you look at what, two catches, sure, but Ernst, like you said, he's a more capable body than two catches. I mean, he'll be the first one to let you know too, in everything. He's probably not going to be one of those guys talking to the media. I can assure you of that. But
I've never talked to him.
He's one of those tight ends as a game changer, and we've talked about that. You saw all three of them on Saturday, and all three in bunches. You know, you wish you could get them more footballs. I mean, there's talent in that room. It's just it's calculated talent.
The interception.
High ball.
So
high ball.
You blame the quarterback there?
Yep.
There's a big talk going on.
Well, it's a high ball. It should have been right in his chest. But you know me, I'm a QB. If you get two hands on it, Ernst,
okay, well,
you got to catch it.
It was Hammerschmidt is the one who missed
it. Oh, it was Hammerschmidt. That's right.
Yeah.
You get two hands on a hammer, you got to catch the thing.
Okay. So I wanted the quarterback's perspective.
Yeah, you got to catch it. Okay. I guarantee you, Coach Wells said, you got two hands on it, you better catch it.
You know, when I watched that, though, Austin, especially the replay, I'm thinking, that was a high ball.
It was like a volleyball set. He set it right to the safety.
It was a tough play, but at the same time, that cannot help Hammerschmidt when he's got Bruns back there in the passing game.
Nipping right at his heels.
Yeah. And again, it was a tough play. It's not that he just dropped one right in his hands. But
right.
Unfortunate scenario right there for Iowa State, obviously. The Channel Seed podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. We're looking forward to a road trip to Kinnick Stadium coming up on Saturday. You're not going, are you?
Not going.
You kind of hate that place.
Yep.
Where are you going to watch the game? What are you going to do?
I don't know yet. It's Wednesday. I better get figuring that out.
It's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. As long as I'm in front of a TV, I'm okay. I'm okay with it.
You're not the big, watch the game at a party type guy, are you?
No. There's too many people. I get too mad, angry. I'm watching the game, calling out the plays to myself. I like to stay secluded in that aspect.
I like watching games with you. You're one of my favorite people to watch a football game.
Hey, thanks, man.
With.
I appreciate that.
No, I mean that.
That's
all
fun.
Sincerity. Bloom and I are heading over on Friday night.
Wow.
We'll stay out of downtown Iowa City in the newspapers, though. Stay out of the fray.
Stay out of the Ped Mall.
Ooh, I think we're actually staying in Cedar Rapids.
Good call.
Yeah. But then we got the Cyclone Radio Network stuff early in the morning. Bloom does. I'm just going to help carry his bags. I'll be that guy.
Oh, yeah. Then hey, someone's got to do it.
We'll do Whipper and I. We'll do Cyclone Reaction from the press box.
Hopefully. Jack's going?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Jack's the man.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Great analyst.
He is.
Guy can,
he knows it.
He wrote him and Bruns. I mean, those are about as two good of former player analysts as you can find.
I agree.
It's really hard. You know, you've learned this.
Yep.
To be critical of your friends.
Oh, it's very hard.
And the team.
Yep.
That you played for.
But as I keep getting older, it's a lot easier. Yeah, I don't know him very well. Let me try and pick on him a little bit.
I'll blow this dude up. Okay. Speaking of blowing people up, I did that to the wide receivers the last few years.
Yeah.
Pretty critical of that play, and thought all in all, it was shaky start, first quarter.
Definitely.
But I saw a lot of things from guys where, you know, what last year probably would have been a 3-yard gain. This year I thought it was a 9-yard gain.
Exactly.
That type of stuff.
And also that has to be taken with a grain of salt just because of the pass defense they faced.
Yeah, okay, so Tulsa's pass defense was that bad?
They are bad. They were bad. They were a bad back 6-7.
They had a pretty good front four, though.
Yeah, they did. They did. They were able to get pressure. They're just not going to see – I mean, with the exception of Western Illinois, you're not going to see many worse secondaries than that. So that was, I mean, that's not saying that's fool's gold. That's a great first start. But you can ask Coach Rojo. So that is something that, okay, that was what we were supposed to do. I mean, that is a game that we were supposed to win. We come out there. We're not supposed to win in Vegas, but in Iowa State, mine, and in this state, you're supposed to do that.
That was an unbelievable line.
Oh, yeah.
I still can't believe Iowa State was a 2-point dog.
All I'm saying is roof, roof, buddy. Roof, roof. Dogs are playing.
Yeah. I mean, man, that was one of those Saturdays where I wish I wasn't in the media so I could, you know, make a mortgage payment on over
ding,
the week.
Ding, ding, ding.
Because I would have.
Oh, yeah.
I would have.
I agree.
Where was I going with? Oh, wide receivers.
Yeah.
Who stood out to you other than Josh Lynn's?
I mean, you had to think about it, and I may be wrong here, but when's the last time three guys had more than 6 catches? Aaron Horn had 6. Chris Young, 7 catches, and Josh Lynn had 8, at 8 or 9, I believe. That's awesome. And Chris Young's a guy who has got, you know, minimal reps in the time that he's been there. And now he's a senior. He's finally kind of paid his dues, you know, avoided. You know, he started out early in his career in the doghouse with coaches. He was a JUCO guy.
He was like a 4-star guy, though, right?
Oh, yeah, JUCO guy. I mean, he runs good routes off the ball, and he's still – you know, with the guys that have came in since I've been gone, he has the best get off the line of scrimmage of any receiver I've seen in a long time. He can just separate from those DBs. He's not you know, Olympic fast, but he's good at separating, and that makes him good running routes. When he's pushing those routes to 10 and 12 yards and snapping them off right in front of that DB's face, his get off's pretty good.
Pretty good blocker for a receiver too.
Strong,
right?
physical kid.
Yeah,
he's became physical. He wasn't when I was there. He was just, you know. More than anything, with those JUCO guys, the transition is so hard coming from JUCO football, where you can go out there and say, "Coach, you know, my foot kind of hurts today. I'm not really, you know, I really don't want to." But you know, him working hard every day has paid off now.
Well, he was impressive to me. Probably the most impressive, really. I think Jarvis still needs to get more touches. I'll be saying that forever.
There's a lot of touches to go around.
Him
I know
and
what
Aaron
you're
Horn, I thought both looked good when they had the football in their hands.
Yep.
Horn had a couple of drops.
Anytime Steele's playing, Horn's going to get catches. I mean, they are
boys. You trust
boys.
Aaron Horn, though, because he drops a lot of passes.
He does, but he
makes up for it in other ways.
He does make up for it. I just think he's one of those guys that he could sneak in. He could sneak into the NFL if he continues to make plays. I mean,
really?
He's a small guy. I mean, watch him run routes on Saturday. He runs good routes. I mean, he gets open.
Well, the thing I like,
he gets open. He just got to catch it.
He had those drops early, but he didn't later in the game.
Right.
I thought that, Austin, was the trend of the whole football game. I thought almost every unit, once they got past the first quarter, I felt like every unit got better as the game went on.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially that D-line when you're playing 12 deep.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask
you. How many sacks? 4 sacks?
I think 3. But they had a lot of hurries. Let me ask you this. Let's talk Iowa again in that D-line. Because I really feel that after watching the Iowa tape, I feel like they're going to be able to run the football early in the game. The first quarter, I think it could be a pound-it-down-your-throat type day for the Iowa Hawkeyes. But that 12, I can't stop thinking about how they're going 12 deep at Iowa State and how the guys in that 3 deep were making plays.
Yeah, Morrissey.
Yeah, Morrissey, Ben Durbin.
Yeah.
I thought Henry
Crone had a sack.
Crone had a sack. Henry Simon, to me, was like, of all the guys.
He played a lot of snaps.
I know, and he made me go, wow. I didn't.
He was a guy last year that I said something to you about in the offseason. You guys laughed at me. You and Tron laughed at me. Hey,
I didn't
think
you'd ever do
it. I only played there 5 years. I only know how people – I mean, I know how people go. Come on. Give me a little love.
I did not think Henry Simon had it in him. Oh, he looked really good.
And last year he did not. I understand that. It's just a credit to Shane Burnham. I mean, he does such a great job with those interior guys. And there's so many of them this year that he's, you know, if you catch Shane at a good time, he's all smiles now.
So, okay, well, now here's my theory, and you tell me if I'm crazy or not. But I kind of feel like, just basically because we've seen this trend at the end of last year, you wear a team down when you're playing 10, 11 deep.
Right.
Oklahoma State game comes to mind, and the D-line gets better throughout the game. So what does that tell you for the first quarter of a couple games when you're going up against a good line? Iowa's got a good line.
Oh, very
good running game. I mean, is that theory out of line that Iowa's going to be able to run the football and then hopefully Iowa State can, you know, get a little bit of a lead, make Vandenberg get back in the pocket, and then you can rush the quarterback?
You're not crazy at all. There's one thing that Iowa will always be able to do, and people don't get this confused with them giving up 6 sacks on Saturday. Running the football is a whole other deal, and they run the football better than a lot of teams in the country. I mean, this team is geared to run the zone, and they run it really well. I mean, they do a great job of getting the one thing when you watch Iowa, from the snap of the ball to first contact, they have, I mean, watching them on tape, if you watch, I mean, a lot of coaches use their offensive line tape as clinic tape. I mean, they show their kids that, and they're thinking, you know, watch how fast his hands get on, because they're so fast with their hands. Ferentz will snap that ball, and he'll be already up and pushing to second level within the blink of an eye. I mean, these guys run it so much, they run it to death in practice, that it's second nature. They can do zone with their eyes closed. I mean, these guys are very good blocking up front, running the football. Now, passing is a whole different deal. They had trouble protecting the quarterback on Saturday, but it's not crazy at all to think that Iowa, I mean, that's what they're going to do. They are going to try and pound this football down Iowa State's throat and make it to where last time I was over there, it was 21-0, and we ran 7 plays in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was, and the game was over by then.
So what do you do if you're Wally Burnham then? Because, I mean, you're obviously going to play that 4-3.
Yeah.
You're going to want Jeremiah George to be integral
Saturday.
It was like Matt was the past few years against Iowa.
Right. I hope we have, you know, we're going to try and stop it with 7 players. Especially with a team like Iowa, of Iowa's caliber, the receivers are good players. Martin Manley's a good player. Davis is a good player. Fedorowicz is their best, probably, prospect.
Yeah.
Both their tight ends are. I mean, you don't want to try and end up being in man-to-man situations against those guys. You've got to find some way to be able to bring 7 and defend the run and still be solid in pass coverage in the backside. Because, it's going to be a long day if Iowa State's trying to go man-to-man against Fedorowicz or Keenan Davis. It could get lengthy just because Vandenberg does play so well at home. I really think that we've got to – you can put 7 in the box. They're going to play the traditional 4-3, and they've got to be able to stop their own 7.
Well, that's really as far as Iowa goes, because I don't see a lot in that passing game that can shred Iowa State. That's the thing about the Iowa offense, I guess. At the end of the day, I'm sitting here thinking, there's not one guy who kind of puts the fear of God in you.
Right.
They've just got a bunch of
good guys.
They've
got a lot of good players.
Yeah.
You know, think of Vandenberg's probably going to get a shot in NFL camp. Fedorowicz is going to be a draft pick.
Fedorowicz I really like.
Keenan Davis is probably going to be a draft pick. Martin Manley with time probably will be a draft pick. I mean, that's just their track record and their history. They turn out good NFL players. I think these guys, people saw the game on Saturday. And I don't put much merit in the first game for anyone.
No.
Just because the improvement from game 1 to game 2 is huge. I mean, and you're going to see a much improved Iowa football team. I bet this week of practice for them has not been fun. Coach Ferentz is probably killing them.
Don't you think it kind of sets up well for Iowa, though? It's just based off of...
Well, yeah, that's what everyone's going to say. You know, oh, they came out and they played bad, and then, oh, they...
At least they won that game from their standpoint.
Oh, yeah. They lose that game, it's a completely different story. Yeah. But they just barely win it, in the minds of a lot of Hawks, they go, oh, yeah, we you know, we're kind of under the radar. And no, you play how you play every Saturday. But that improvement from game one to game two is going to be big for this Hawkeye football team.
I had a fairly smart individual say to me on Monday when we were talking about this very conversation, does it set up well for Iowa, yada, yada, yada. And he goes, yeah. And this is an Iowa State guy, an Iowa State fan. Mm-hmm. And he goes, would you rather that or would you rather Iowa go out and blow Northern Illinois out by 40 and have a ton of confidence and just be on fire going into this football game? I guess when you put it that way,
right,
not that bad.
You want them? That's the one thing Iowa State can't afford to do is let Iowa start fast. We've got – there's some – you know, they cannot start fast. They cannot have the ball first and take a 12-play drive, 12-play drive, 90 yards – you know, taking 8 minutes off the clock. That's not what you want. That defense has got to get off the field. I just think they pride themselves now. He's having those three true linebackers that can play, that they've got to be able to stop the run. And, you know, by any means, you can't start slow like they did against Tulsa.
All right, Austin. Well, our time is about up here on the Channel Boom. Seed podcast. What about quick thoughts around the Big 12? West Virginia, they put up 69 points on pretty average Marshall football team.
Tony Peterson, my old quarterback coach.
Is West Virginia for real?
I told you last week.
They gave up 550 yards to Marshall, too, and nobody's talking about that.
I don't care. Okie State did a lot of the same last year. West Virginia is going to score some points on the football field. I'm telling you that right now.
Speaking of Okie State, an 84-0.
Savannah Hello. State. God, will you play some football?
Do you know who Savannah State has this week?
No.
The Noles, baby.
Oh, chop them up already. They're done.
Chop them up. TCU plays for the first time this week.
Grambling State.
That'll be a fun one.
Snoozer.
Man, these Big 12 non-conference games are brutal.
You know the game that I like, and you put it on the sheet, A&M Florida. A&M's a 2.5-point favorite at home.
Are they really?
Today, I just looked this morning.
I kind of feel like Florida, after that close one with Bowling Green.
Florida's never been to College Station now.
Well,
it's gonna be. That's a crazy environment. You've never been.
You know my thoughts on.
You've
A&M,
never been.
I'm not an A&M guy.
You've never been to College Station.
And I'll put it this way.
It would change your perspective a lot.
Juiced up for their.
And it's not Mike Sherman anymore.
I know. And that was the reason I hated A&M so much.
Have you caught Mike Sherman on Hard Knocks lately?
No.
Oh, it's awesome.
I don't watch Hard Knocks.
What?
I don't get HBO. I don't have time. It's not worth the
financial
investment.
It's an hour of your day.
I don't
have time. 15 bucks a month extra.
Hey, that's $15 a month that could be going towards toys for Paisley.
Oh, God. End this thing now.
Any other Big 12 headlines, college football headlines you'd like to talk about? Anything ringing out in your mind right now?
No. Oklahoma.
They'll be fine. People are making way too big of a deal out of that.
Huge deal. UTEP, not a bad, you know, it's hard to play at UTEP.
It's hard to go west anytime you go west.
Coach Herman was telling me that UTEP was one of the hardest places he ever played when he was at Rice.
Why?
It's kind of explicit. But there's just so many crazy fans who are, intoxicated per se. So
speaking of Coach Herman, he had a decent game.
I talked to him. They put up some points. He's got quite the little quarterback over there, Braxton Miller.
He went from maybe you to Braxton Miller.
I know, I know. It's kind of like how Chiz went from me to Cam Newton. I'm just the goat, man.
I didn't think
I'm just
about
the
that.
Goat. I'm the goat.
You're the guy that everybody just kicks.
Kick me when I'm down.
Poor guy.
Hey, I still feel good about it.
You should feel good about it. You never had a wide receiver. You're line skeptical at times. I hope Lamont's not listening.
Big Reg.
No, Ohio State was impressive, I thought. I agree with you that the Oklahoma thing was blown way out of proportion.
Okie State changed, you know, Savannah State 84-0.
That could have been 120-0.
They're still going to score a lot of football points, a lot of bottle points.
This happens every year. Everybody always underestimates Oklahoma State. They did it last year.
Gundy's pointing his gun saying,
Gundy is at the same spot, except he's at a heightened spot, that, like Gary Pinkel. Like, you're not rebuilding anymore. You just reload. They have a freshman quarterback. I understand that. But look what is the heck around that kid.
I know.
They are going to be good.
Who's their next Blackman Bryant? Type S receiver. Do they have one right now?
They've got a couple guys. Yeah, they got a couple guys who were right behind Blackman last year who are still there. Is Anium there still there, or is he gone?
I don't know.
No, but they will keep scoring points, and they will be a top three Big 12 team, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. I see people with them at 4-5. You're crazy.
They can score. They know
you
how to play.
You are crazy. I'm a big Mike Gundy guy, if you can't tell.
Yeehaw.
Other than that, there really wasn't anything to talk about in the Big 12 because all the games were just god-awful. Really, really bad. Miami and Kansas State, that headlines this weekend along with
in Manhattan, right?
Yeah, that's in Manhattan. That was a nutty
game. K-State wins by 10.
I like Kansas State in that football game, too. I think Miami, I mean, they still get points from Vegas just because they're Miami.
Right.
But not really deservedly. So, all right. Well, we will see you next week, Austin, for the Channel C podcast. I guess we got to get a prediction from you because we don't have a Saturday show this week.
That's right. No Saturday
show.
What do you like? I've been thinking about this a little bit. Low scoring. A little bit low scoring.
I agree on the low scoring.
I think it's going to be 20 to 17 clones.
Wow. That is
two field goals from Marcio.
You're big on Sarceo, kid.
I'm not big on him. I want him to get some confidence so that he can kick good the rest of the year.
I like him. I mean,
he was 6-6 on Saturday.
To be honest with you, when I heard, and this was like Thursday night, that I started to get rumblings that Netton might be redshirting,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking to myself, I don't like this move. But I, you know, after
Edwin's
got to
kick that thing out of the end zone. No, don't hang it up on the 10-yard line. I mean, that is ripe for the picking.
That's fool's gold in this day and age.
And the way our team covers kicks, oh, God.
That has to get better in week
Hold
two.
On to your socks.
That has to get better.
Yep.
Now, I like the low scoring aspect, but I also believe the higher scoring this game is, the better it is for Iowa State.
I know. So I understand.
A 20-17 game, well, Rhodes is 16-1 when the opponent scores 24 points or less in his career at Iowa State. So that would bode well for the Cyclones.
Yep.
There you go. Austin's on record. You can read more. Will you have a 5 keys to victory this week?
I will.
All right. You can read that coming up this week. CycloneFanatic.com. Remember, we had the recruiting party. We had the basketball party tonight. We're going to be talking football, too. 7 o'clock, the cake stand. Come hang out. Good food, cold beer. And our special guest will arrive around 7 o'clock.
Hello.
That should be a good time. Tomorrow night, we're at Kippy's Place in Elkhart, 78-1460 KXNO. John Miller of HawkeyeNation.com will join me while the podcast posted as well. Thanks to our friends at Channel Seed for sponsoring this podcast. And we'll talk to you next week, Cyclone Nation. Have a very, very fun weekend. If you're going to Iowa City, be safe, be classy, and by all means, stay out of jail. Take care, everyone.